Good evening and welcome to First Baptist Church, Bowling Green, Kentucky, for this special edition of Wednesday Night Worship. As we continue on our journey this year through faith stories, hearing from figures that we've known for years as we've studied God's Word and being inspired by their journeys of faith, we also wanted to hear some stories of faith from right here in our own community. And so tonight, we welcome Ralph Delahaye to this special edition of Wednesday Night Worship. Ralph has been a longtime member of First Baptist Church. He has served as a deacon. Actually, you've been chair of the deacons previously. He is a member of our personnel team and is chair of our personnel team. And he is a Sunday school teacher. But you may know Ralph in different contexts. You may know him through his connection with Western Kentucky University. You may know him through his connection with State Farm. Or you may have seen his picture in the paper last summer as he and his bride celebrated 50 years of marriage. Right. And so, Ralph, we're so thankful to have you here and to get to talk with you and to get to learn from you about what God has done in your life. And so you are not originally from Bowling Green, Kentucky, and in fact, you have shared with me that you've lived in a lot of different places throughout the course of your life.
I was born in Russellville. The first four of the six children that are my siblings and I were born in Russellville. When I was three, we moved to Bowling Green so my father could complete his degree. Mm-hmm. And he completed that in the 51-52 school year, and then we moved to Lexington over that summer of 52 so he could get a couple of extra courses that he needed to get his teaching certificate. We then moved to Carlisle County, which is Bardwell, mm-hmm. which is as far west as you can go in Kentucky. And we lived there for 5 years. I went to first, second, and third grade there. And then we moved to Hopkinsville. That was fourth grade. Not a good year for me. Enough of that. We then moved to Drexboro in Muhlenberg County and stayed there, graduated from there, came back to Western for college. After college, Suzanne and I got married in 1970. And lived in Central City. I had gone to work for Commonwealth Insurance, mm-hmm. Worked there for 6 years. The last five of that, I was trying to figure a way to have an agency of my own mm-hmm. So I could sell all types of insurance rather than just life insurance. And while I was refereeing a basketball game in November the 1st of 75, the other official said, Ralph, how do you think an insurance agency would go in Central City? And I thought, why does he want to know? He's a school teacher. Why does he want to know that? And so I gave him an honest answer of how I thought it'd be really hard work for a good while, but I thought it would go fine. Mm-hmm. I said, why are you thinking about doing that? He said, well, I'm just curious. I think that was the end of his curiosity. That was the beginning of my curiosity. And so first thing Monday morning, I called a friend of mine, the only State Farm agent I knew in Owensboro, and asked him who I would need to talk to, and he put me in contact with his manager. And on January the 1st of 76, I opened up an office. I was the first State Farm agent in Central City.
Really?
I was a manager for a little over 5 years. I was an agency director for four. I then became the agency director of recruiting, and I recruited all of Kentucky and Tennessee, all the State Farm agents, for almost 2 years.
So all the signs that we see of agents here in our region, they probably came through you, is that right?
Well, in my role as a manager and agency field executive, I appointed a little over 50 agents.
My goodness.
And then in late 98, my boss called me and he was clear that this was not an offer, but he wanted to know about my interest in coming to Bowling Green. So in January 1st of 99, I came to Bowling Green as an agency field executive and was here until I retired in 2013.
My goodness. So, and in retirement, you have stayed busy.
I have stayed busy. That has not been a problem.
Well, Suzanne has taken over as your supervisor, I think, and keeps you hopping.
She does have input, yes.
Well, Well, Ralph, we're thankful that the Lord led you here. And
thank you.
We're thankful that that all of those moves have culminated in your being here. And you still travel. You're one of the most well-traveled human beings I've ever known. Every time I hear north to Alaska, which comes on occasionally, I think of you because you've recently Good. Been north to Alaska. But you've been in every direction and seen a lot of important sites and a lot of important places. Are there some places you still want to go?
Absolutely. One of my goals a few years ago was to visit every national park. And I was making good progress with that until they continued to add national parks. But I only lack four.
And how many national parks are there?
It's either 63 or 64.
So you have been to 59 or 60
Right.
national parks.
Right.
So take us on the journey of your faith. And so when you were coming up in all of these different places, where was it and when was it that God began to speak to your heart? What was the context of your coming to faith in Jesus Christ?
Well, from the time I was born, my family was in the church house every time the doors opened. And there were no excuses other than, I guess, death and very severe illness. I know slight illness didn't keep you out. And you can imagine I didn't necessarily appreciate that
Sure.
During all that time. But as an adult, I have really appreciated the fact that that was instilled in all of us to when it was time for church, we went. But I never did accept Christ during that time. And actually, I was 23 mm-hmm. when I made a profession. And we got married in 70, and I made a profession in 72. Very early in my career with Commonwealth, which began in at the very end of 1969, mm-hmm. I met Joe Ben Tucker, who owned Tucker Funeral Home in Central City. He invited me to go to church with him a lot. And so when he invited, we went. Mm-hmm. If he didn't invite, we probably didn't. I don't remember that very well. Somewhere in that time frame, I was really wrestling with becoming a Christian. Mm-hmm. And there were I didn't really have a lot of questions. You know, one of the things that kind of delayed me, I'd been taught growing up that Christians tithe. Mm-hmm. And I thought, well, I don't think I can do that. So I'm not going to sign up for that until I can.
Wow.
So that I think that was me kind of wanting to control that a little
Sure.
bit. I remember thinking, I need to clean up my life first. Mm-hmm. So I tried that for a while.
How'd it go?
That didn't go well. That didn't go well. And I remember finally on that, Tuesday, April the 25th, I thought, you know what? I'm just going to go. What I'm going to do, that I was planning, mm-hmm. what I'm going to do, I'm going to get a seat on the end of a pew, mm-hmm. and then I can just slip out and go down there during the invitation. So Joe Ben and Carolyn, his wife, picked us up, took us to church with them. We walked in the door at First Baptist, and we met a greeter, and he said, "You got to go upstairs. Downstairs is full."
Oh, no.
There goes my plan. We wound up in the middle of the front pew in the balcony, and then people just came in around us. And, you know, the distance from the first pew in the balcony to the little rail is not very much.
Right.
And so I had all these obstacles. If I was going to go down during the invitation, I had all these obstacles in there. Mm-hmm. And I have no idea what the preacher preached about during that sermon because I was trying to figure out how am I going to get out of here. And again, finally, I just thought, you know, I'm just going.
Wow.
And I went down. It's the best decision of my life. Mm-hmm. So I'm coming up in April 25th on my 50th anniversary.
Is that right? So, my goodness, that's remarkable. And isn't it funny, sometimes we have our way planned and think we know exactly what's going to happen, and God says, let me show you what I think of your plans.
I've had that happen a lot.
Yes, sir.
That's the way it's been throughout my entire life, that I've planned, and then it didn't work, and then another plan presented itself. I planned, it didn't work, another plan presented itself. And every one of those plans that presented themselves worked.
You know, the Bible says in his heart, a man plans his ways, but the Lord determines his steps. And it seems like the Lord has determined your steps well, yes. Even against your better judgment at times.
Well, you'd think I would learn, wouldn't you?
Well, I'm on the journey with you, trying to learn that same lesson. Another member of our church who has recently gone home to be with the Lord had an important role in your life, a man by the name of Coach John Oldham. Yes. You might not be able to tell because we're seated, but Ralph is significantly taller than me. In fact, he's significantly taller than most people, and he was a basketball player at Western Kentucky University, played for Coach John Oldham. If that name seems familiar to you, the next time you're at EA Diddle Arena, just look at the court, and you will see his signature there on the court. A wonderful coach and a wonderful member of First Baptist Church for many, many years. So, Ralph, tell us a little bit about Coach Oldham and your interaction with him through your college years and what he meant to you.
I played 1 year at Western, and the next recruiting class included names that are very familiar, like Jim McDaniel, Clarence Glover, Jim Rose, Jerome Perry, and so I thought, well, I can't compete with those guys, and so I didn't even try after that. And that's one thing that I really wish had worked differently, because sometime in the fall, I ran into Coach Oldham on the campus. I could still point to exactly where we were on the sidewalk. And he asked me how I was doing, and fine. He said, well, I wish you had come back. We had big plans for you. And I've never known what that meant.
Sure.
And a little afraid to ask. But Coach Oldham was, he was an idol of mine.
Sure.
He was just so fair in everything. And when I say fair, I mean, whatever he expected you to do, he expected you to do. And he was fair in that if you didn't do it, then there were consequences. But he was also fair in that when you did what you're supposed to, he was very generous with compliments. And I remember one day in practice, we were doing a two-man fast break drill, and they explicitly explained no bouncing, no dribbles. And so here we go down the floor with another player, and it got back to me, and I didn't have time to get it back to the other player, but I was going to walk if I didn't bounce it once. So I bounced it once, and very calmly, Coach Oldham said, 25 on top, Ralph. That meant 25 laps around the top of Diddle Arena.
Oh, my.
For one bounce.
Oh, my goodness.
I have to tell you something happened just a few years ago. Jim Richards, who was also coach at Western, he and I were in the W Club room before a game, probably 3 or 4 years ago. And he and I were talking, and Coach Oldham walked in. And he walked over to where we were, and we shook hands and greeted each other. And Jim Richards turned to him. He said, Coach said, why didn't you play Ralph more? And he said, Coach, just like this, he said, well, I'll tell you why. He said, he was my favorite player, but I didn't like him. And just deadpan.
Oh, that's great.
But I love Coach Oldham.
Yes, sir. Well, one of the jokes that I have with Ralph is that he has a larger collection of red clothing than anybody I know. Between his time at State Farm and his love for the Hilltoppers of Western Kentucky University, and even today, when he walked in, he said, "I knew you'd expect me to wear red," and I'm so glad you did. But one of the ways that I see your faith influencing your life is in your interaction with current students, and part of the way that you encourage students, and especially student athletes, is through the lens of a camera and capturing moments that you share by way of social media. Why do you feel like the Lord is leading you to be such an encourager to those student athletes at Western Kentucky University?
You know, I can remember Gene Rhodes was one of the assistant coaches when I was here. And I remember one day diving for a loose ball on the floor. And I mean, I just took the top of my knees off. And Coach Rhodes was over there saying, attaboy, Ralph, we've got all kind of strawberry ointment. And he was so encouraging in things. And And I've never forgotten that.
Yeah.
And I bet he didn't remember that.
Sure.
And the thing that I've noticed is that the encourager is not the one that's going to remember that contact nearly as much as the encouragee,
yes,
if you will.
Yeah.
I've tried to communicate that same belief to other people that I've met. And, you know, I get a special opportunity with some of the Western students because I do take pictures of them, and they find out about it, and then they send me a friend request, and so I wind up being their friend. Whether it's people, fans in the stands, or players, cheerleaders, the Tupperettes, whomever, they like getting the, and I've become Facebook friends with a lot of mothers of cheerleaders
and dancers,
yeah. Because several times they've said, what are you going to do with those? And I said, well, I'll put them on Facebook. Can I send you a friend request? Sure.
Well, and the role of encouragement there is so important. And you may know this, but Ralph teaches a Sunday school class here at First Baptist Church, and it's called the Encouragers Sunday School Class. And I've said so many times during my time here, your Sunday school class lives up to its name. It lives up to its name. My mother's a part of your class,
yep,
and you all are just wonderful at building one another up and encouraging one another and making sure that people are cared for. And I know that that starts from your leadership, and we're so thankful for that. And as a direct beneficiary of what that class does, I'm very thankful for what you do.
It's a great group of folks.
So, Ralph, we want to kind of bring our time together to an end by asking how your faith has influenced all these different roles that you have played. You have been a husband for more than half a century. You've been a father. You have worked in business. You have engaged with clients. You have helped people build their lives based on their careers. But you've also served your church as a deacon and as a teacher and in so many different ways, and you've cheered on the Hilltoppers to victory for many years. How does your faith influence the way that you live your life?
I guess I go back to my upbringing as a child. I saw the role that it played with my parents,
mm-hmm,
and it was just foremost in their lives, and virtually everything was worked around what we did and where when we went to church and, mm-hmm, and that sort of thing. You know, I saw my father. He rarely lost his temper. I remember one time he lost his temper because somebody egged his car during the night.
It's a good reason to lose your temper.
He told, this was so unusual, he told the policeman, you better catch him before I do. It was the first new car he had ever owned.
Oh, my goodness.
And it had just splashed across the hood and eaten the paint off.
Oh, it's awful.
But he was always very even-tempered, very, you know, everything had to do with honesty,
mm-hmm,
and forthrightness. And so that was the example that I was given,
mm-hmm,
growing up. So even though I didn't always do what was right, matter of fact, I've many times done what was wrong, I knew all the time the difference. And there was never any argument about what was right and what was wrong. The decision was, which one was I going to follow?
Right.
And so I've tried to have that to be my guide as well. So those things have shaped me. We were fortunate to, in Louisville, we were in a very good church, a very good Sunday school class. Being in Louisville, there was always at least one seminary student in our class.
I'm sure.
And so I learned really quick, I better study my Sunday school lesson before I get in there, because things are going to be said that I need to be prepared to hear,
uh-huh,
to respond to, or to add to, whatever. But that became very challenging in a good way.
Sure.
And then we came here, very good Sunday school class, and then after we'd been here, and I've lost track of the time on this, but 5 or 6 years, then the teacher decided that he did not want to go forward, and I began teaching. And I think that's been around 15 or so years now. Mm-hmm. And I love doing that. I had sung in the choir prior to that. I really enjoyed that. I had to make a decision. As I've told people when they have asked me why I'm not in choir, I said, we've got a long-winded teacher.
I can appreciate that. Sometimes we have a long-winded preacher, too. Well, Ralph, it's so interesting to hear what has played out in your life is actually prescribed in Scripture. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2, Paul wrote to Timothy, he said, the things that you've heard and seen in me, the same, entrust those to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Right. And you've shared with us how you have had faithful others in your life who have poured into you, whether they even knew they were doing it or not. Exactly. They were living out their faith in a way that modeled faith to you.
Exactly.
And I have to say, as someone who's just a year or two behind you, that you do the exact same thing. Right. And by living out your faith, you inspire the generations that are coming up after you. And we're so thankful for you.
Thank you.
So thank you for joining us today.
Sure.
And thank you for telling your story, because just as we are inspired by the stories that God gives us in Scripture, we are inspired by the stories that God gives us in one another. And we pray that you will continue to join us as we journey through these faith stories, hearing how God has moved in others' lives and being inspired to know how He'll move in ours. As we bring our time to a close tonight, would you pray with me? Father, we love you, and we thank you so much for this opportunity to hear from Ralph and to hear about his story of faith, all the wonderful ways in which you have impacted his life and continue to impact his life. And Lord, we're thankful that Ralph uses his gifts and talents and abilities and resources to serve others to the glory of God. All of us are beneficiaries of the great work that you do in him and through him. Yet again, this evening, we join our hearts and our minds and our voices to pray that prayer that our Lord Jesus taught us to pray. And in so doing, we'll answer the question, whose Father? Our Father, who art in heaven. Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Thank you so much, and God bless you.